it is Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Welcome in to Slapshot Radio on Nashville's best sports talk, ESPN 102.5 The Game, streaming on the Game Nashville app. The 2019-2020 season is done.
Finally.
It is the end of September, and that season is gone. And the Tampa Bay Lightning have won their second Stanley Cup in franchise history with a 4-2 series win over the Dallas Stars. We're going to break the series down, and then we're going to chat with the president himself. He is going to tear himself away from the Yankee game to talk to us tonight.
No, he'll have two TVs going on with the Yankee game, and then he'll be talking to us.
That's a good point. Nashville Predators CEO Sean Henry going to be joining us. It's all brought to you by day one sponsor Heritage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the largest wine and spirit store in Middle Tennessee, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits, and our friends at Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries Nashville with three locally owned and operated locations in Middle Tennessee. And of course, the man, the myth, the legend, Carter Church with Weikart Realtors, the Andrews Group, your real estate expert. I'm Paul McCann, our co-host, our former NHL coach and player, Brent Peterson, and the host of the Preds Watch Party, Zach McCann. Zach is joining us again from his undisclosed location. They kicked him out of East Nashville. He wouldn't wear the skinny jeans. He's gone out in East Nashville. No clue where he is now. But, Zach, how are you tonight?
Hey, you know, I'm just wandering around, wondering what the heck is going on, and have a lost feeling of what do we do now? We did it. The season concluded. The first league to present a major championship in the year 2020.
You know what? And it's amazing to watch. It really is, because you got to give, you know, Coach Brent Peterson, you've got to give the NHL a huge boatload of credit. They pulled it off and did it well.
Fantastic way that they and those employees had to work for the 2 months. Players worked for 2 months too, but they were there 2 weeks before, and they're going to be there for another week on cleaning everything up and making sure everything's taken apart and everything. They did a great job in both cities, and then Edmonton especially did a great job with the West.
They really did. They really did. And you know what, Zach? I wrote about it on Hockey Buzz on after the game on Saturday night. I really believe that the series was over after that overtime win. When after game four, I thought it was over. I think it was dead man walking in game five. Dallas gave everything they could, but you have to, this Tampa Bay team, you really look back on it now. Talk about a team that's absolutely was on a mission to get it done this year. Go ahead.
Oh, I think it was Victor Hedman who said it, and if I'm mistaken, then I apologize. But one Tampa Bay Lightning player said, "That is the most complete game that I have ever seen this team play." And you can't be wrong about that, because that Game 6 performance was as utter a sheer methodical, surgical domination of a team as you will ever see. Tampa leaned on their heavy talent. They leaned on their insane skill, defensive acumen, and some key saves from Andrei Vasilevsky. If you want a thing that is pinnacle Tampa Bay Lightning hockey, watch Game 6 again.
I mean, you look at it, Coach. I mean, you know, from a coach's perspective, you can't ask for more out of a team than that team delivered when it all was on the line.
Well, 4 years ago, they went to the finals and lost.
Right.
Then they won the President's Trophy last year. And then this year they come in there and we have a COVID and everything goes wrong for everybody, and they're looking like they're not going to get another year. I hate to say that I picked them in August.
Yeah, I know.
Remember?
I remember.
I picked them in August with the Predators being on the outside.
Yeah.
I couldn't pick them. But I picked them in August because they've gone through everything. They've won the trophy. They've had to make lineup changes every year, a whole fourth line that they put together. And they've had injuries all year. They've had their best player Stamkos out, and they still found a way to win the game. They did it by offense. They did it by power play. They did it by Vasilevsky. They just have a very good team in there. And if they keep them all, and they're all as hungry as they normally as you do at the beginning of the year, they will have another chance next year. But
the interesting piece, I mean, had it all. It even had a Willis Reed moment, for heaven's sakes. I mean, you know, I recall how shocked we were sitting in the studio last Wednesday night doing the pregame before the broadcast here on 102.5. Seeing Steven Stamkos come out on the ice And, I mean, and you looked, and at that point, you knew Tampa was winning that game. Period. End of story. You just knew they were going to win, Zach.
Mm-hmm. No doubt about it. I mean, you couldn't write more of a thing. It's the perfect cameo role that you're going to have when they make the movie about this team or whatever. It's just Stamkos comes out, plays 2 minutes and 45 seconds, one shot, one goal. And, I mean, you can't write anything better.
And you just you look at the reaction of on the bench after that goal from Stamkos. And, I mean, it's just, again, it's one of those things. You look at you can really look at this Tampa Bay team as continuing – honestly, a trend over the last three or so seasons. You look at the last three Stanley Cup champions, and you look at the Washington Capitals, same situation as the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Right.
Long-term contender, always expected to be there and always falling short, finally putting it together with a gritty performance. You look at St. Louis last year.
Right.
I mean, you know, 53 years of absolute utter frustration. You know, I mean, lots of playoffs, lots of finals appearances that really didn't count because it was part of that first, you know, 3 years. But anyway, you look at that, and then one more time here this year, another story of redemption, another story of a team that was down, that, you know, really President's Trophy and go out in a
first
sweep.
Round. Right, first round sweep. Right.
You know, I mean, honestly, you know, I mean, you can look at the Predators, you know, two seasons ago, and I mean, at least they won a round of the playoffs.
I was going to say something like that. I think every coach is going to hang his hat on that point to his team at the start of the next year.
I would, sure.
For sure. Everybody has a chance to win it. It's not like, you know, the Tampa Bay is going to be tough to beat, but you can beat them, and just like, as long as they don't play Columbus. Columbus knows, Torch knows how to stop them somehow, and he does a great job with it. But anyways, they got through everybody. They got through Boston, and Boston didn't play as well as they needed to, but and there's some good teams in the league, but everybody has a chance. If you make the playoffs, you have to make the playoffs, and then all 16 teams have a chance, and I would hang my hat on that if I was a coach in the league, no problem, because four different winners in the last 4 years, and like you said, good story behind it all.
Oh, yeah, and Zach, I mean, you brought this up in a text. I mean, what do you think that the Nashville Predators need to do? I mean, because let's face it, if the Predators put a good season together next year, this is still a team with a lot of good talent. But, Zach, what does the Predators need to do to follow that pattern?
Well, the Tampa Bay pattern is one that it is very difficult to emulate because it relies on spectacular value on top of incredible drafting. And make no mistake, you know, Steve Yzerman was really the mastermind behind this team, but their current general manager, Julian Brisbois, I believe is his name, absolutely is the one who put this team over the hump with signings like Maroon and, you know, yeah, exactly. There are so many other signings that he did just to help them get that little extra edge. I think if Nashville is going to follow this model, then players like Tomasino need to make the jump. Tolvanen, Trennan, who was recently signed over this past week, much to rejoicing from myself. There's a lot of different things that this team needs. It needs contribution from the youth. The thing that worries me now about Tampa is that they are going to be in a salary cap nightmare now because a lot of those players are looking to get paid.
Well, you're right. And I mean, and this is the problem, you know, this is the curse of this salary cap era. You look at this Nashville Predators team. You lock up your good players for long term, and then you try and put the role players around them to help develop them best. And honestly, Coach, I said it before the show. I'll say it on the air. Make me GM for a day. I'm on the phone with Maroon's agent right now. I'm only the eighth player in history to win two straight Stanley Cups on two different teams, and exactly the kind of role player that almost every Cup winner has.
Yeah, you must see that. His leadership must be unbelievable in the room because he's not a great player. He's a good player, but he's not a great player. But he must be unbelievable in the room and just pump up the guys and just be a...
But he does the right things. He gets in front of the
he
net.
Does.
He hits.
Does.
He disturbs. He makes sure that people are... You know, he knocks people off their game.
Right.
And you saw that happen with St. Louis last year. You saw it happen with Tampa this year.
Yeah, they both played the same way, but Tampa Bay was more of a skilled team, and they had to come back and play like St. Louis. And St. Louis was a gritty team that had to play some skill sometimes. So you have to have a little bit of everything. Just, for example, our defensemen, they have Hedman, McDonough, and
Shattenkirk.
And Bogosian. Who's just a fifth or sixth line defenseman, but he's a big guy.
Yeah.
And try to get to the net in the playoffs, which everybody says, you got to get inside, you got to go to the net, you got to be in front.
Yep.
Corey Perry, he might have saved another, he might get another contract because of this.
He should get, you
he
know
should.
What?
He played great. He played great. He went to the net and he scored goals. That's all he did. He went to the net and scored goals, and he was his dirty self, but he did a great job. He disrupted as much as Maroon.
That's
did.
Right. No, and this is too, and this is too straight. Shows where I've said something positive about Corey Perry. God, 2020, go away.
Corey Perry was the best forward for the Dallas Stars in that series.
Even Pavelski were.
I mean, but that's the type of player. That's the type of leadership. And you look at, I think the 2017 comparisons went all the way through this series. Mm-hmm. I mean, it really did. And you know, even to the fact, it's funny, officiating wasn't an issue. Until the last two games. Until the last two games of the Stanley Cup final. And honestly, you look at, you know, at the end of game four, which I always say the irony of that. I mean, I love irony. It's very ironic. And I mean, you know, Dallas basically lost that cup on a terrible call. Gee, I don't think there's much sympathy coming down from Buffalo. Do you think so there, Coach?
Or us.
or us, for that matter, that's for sure. Well, we are just getting it started right here on Slapshot Radio. Sean Henry, the president, going to be joining us next. And we have got, we got so much to talk about, it isn't even funny. But the first thing I want to talk about is Drs. Aileen Kruger and Tyler Boland over at Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, the premier sponsor of Slapshot Radio. They've been with us since day one of this show, all 13 seasons. A great staff, a comfortable environment. They do make it a lot easier to get all your dental needs taken care of. Offer all the latest in dental technology. You got to check out their website at WeBrightonSmiles.com. That's WeBrightonSmiles.com, or call them for an appointment at 615-872-7762. That's 615-872-7762. Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry. We brighten smiles. Slapshot Radio on ESPN 102.5, the game, Nashville's best sports talk. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you for your weekly hour of hockey mayhem. And normally we'd be starting the season right now, but we're kind of just this is the longest season in Slapshot Radio's history. I mean, 50.
I know, we never took a day off.
No,
we?
I mean, we're looking at a 54 show season. That's that's a record for us. And some would say that, you know, gosh, it didn't have to go that long. But we've got a great guest. We always love welcoming the president to Slapshot Radio, the CEO of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry, joining us. Sean, thank you for tearing yourself away from the Yankees game. Oh, wait a minute. They're in a weather delay. That's why you called in.
If I realized the Yankees were playing when I accepted this, I probably would have been for a different time.
I knew it. I said that.
But you know what? But what we did, just to help you out, we ordered up a weather delay for you for Cleveland. So
Hey, when are the Phillies playing? When do they start?
I think they start. Pitchers and catchers report February 10th. I think. Yeah, that's okay. You know, it happens. We gave up on the Phillies long ago. Anyway, so let's talk hockey. Sean, first off, I know you probably have quite a few friends still in the Tampa Bay organization. You got to be happy for the Lightning for lifting the cup for the second time in franchise history.
Well, I don't know what Brent says about this, but I'm never happy for any organization winning.
True.
I'm always happy for certain individuals within it. And a lot of friends with different teams, but none more than with the Lightning. So, yeah, it's really nice to see so many really good people, you know, enjoy what we're chasing.
Oh, exactly. And Sean, you know, we were talking about that in the first segment. And part of the thing, it's interesting because you can draw some real parallels with the Tampa Bay Lightning and the Nashville Predators, a cup final run, a President's Trophy season, you know, not quite the thing that you were looking for. I mean, there's things to take hope from, but there's things that you look at on this and say, this sometimes is the path a team has to follow. Look no further than the Tampa Bay Lightning or the Washington Capitals 2 years ago.
Yeah, and when you look at the last, you know, 3, 4, 5 winners, there is a very similar pattern. You know, you stay in the hunt consistently for a period of time, and you keep chipping it away. You alter a few things, whether it be on your roster or how you approach the playoffs. And you look at the recent winners, they've all come out raising that cup after 2 or 3 or 4 times where people thought they should have gone further than they did. But the real key is you have to be honest about who you have and what you have and not be afraid to make a few changes.
Well, Slapshot Radio with the Chief Executive Officer of the Nashville Predators, Sean Henry. And we're going to – you got a question for the coach there? Coach
sure.
There?
Sean, I just want to know what – I know I haven't been down there very much, but I just wondering what Bridgestone's sort of coming back to life with the personnel coming back and everybody coming back and slowly. And I just wondered what were some of the things that you guys were going to upgrade on the building this year that you couldn't do and that it would be in your programs later?
Well, you know, the hardest part about, you know, going back to, you know, March when we took the pause, I was on a league-wide call today and we were talking about it. You know, the pause was going to be 3 days, maybe 3 weeks. Yeah. No one thought it would be a month or 2 months or 3 months, let alone 6 months.
Right.
So it's been encouraging with our staff doing so much and pulling together and rallying around the community and obviously working hard to get back on the ice when we did and now preparing for the draft. But, you know, we're still in that holding pattern to a degree of, you know, when are things going to really get going? We have a lot of really good plans to play concerts and events in front of every type of a crowd with every contingency and protocol that we're trying to put into place. And it's really neat to see. But from a alteration of the building, you're not going to see a whole lot because it was hard to plan any real renovations, not knowing when you're going to get going again. So a lot of the focus is on, what are the best protocols to allow people to get back in our building and to do so safely to enjoy what we all love to do, and that's be together and celebrate live concerts and of course, hockey.
We're on the line with Sean Henry, the CEO of the Nashville Predators. Zach?
Absolutely. You know, Sean, you mentioned those protocols about getting fans back in the building. It looks like you guys might be doing a bit of a test run. I was reading some stuff on the Pred socials about some opportunities to celebrate the draft coming up with some fans being in the Lexus Lounge. Talk a little bit about that and what the Preds have coming up.
Yeah, so the draft party, you know, we're going to have, I think it's 125 or 150 people coming on in for that. And, you know, skate to our social media or website to figure out how to get in. And I know it's only 100, 125 people, but it was kind of like the Opry the other night with 500 people. You know, I was the biggest cheerleader for them because as we bring people in, you get a chance to learn a few things, change a few things, try a few things out because 100 people turn into 500, 500 into 2,000, 2,000 to 17,159. And, you know, everyone's chomping at the bit, you know, to get back together. I think we all have to be patient to make sure we're doing so in the best possible fashion. But, you know, from a show standpoint to obviously, you know, starting training camp, we all can't wait to do it. But we'll take a few, you know, baby steps. And ours, the first one is the draft party. And hopefully we'll be able to do a few more things in similar fashion throughout October and November, you know, building towards where we all want to be.
Sean, we've heard, you know, all kinds of things being talked about. There's another return to play committee. Can you talk a little bit about what the NHL is doing to try and plan for the upcoming season? What is that going to look like over the next few weeks?
It was funny. I was on a call today, and you always have a pre-call before the call. And I was talking to one of the EVPs of the league before our call. And, you know, I'm on a couple committees. David Poyle's on a couple committees. For a lot of different things, but it's almost emotional to see what our league did when Tampa raised that cup above their head the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Because when we took that pause back in March, no one knew how long it was going to be. A lot of us were operating on our own of, okay, what do we think we need to do? You know, are we masking? Are we just getting, you know, sanitation gel? You know, we're all over the map. We've changed every plan 1,000 times. But the one consistent factor was our league hold everyone together, the players, the teams, management. And it was, we're going to play again. Don't know the date exactly, but let's get together as often as possible, break down every barrier, every silo, and share ideas and protocols, where we really became one team, if you will, under the league. And the fact that we did training camp and got into the bubbles and didn't have one positive case and didn't miss a beat on the schedule and celebrated a cup winner, it really was, and I hate to sound too corny, but it was emotional. Something I was so proud of. I hope you guys are too, because we're all part of it. And it was really spectacular. So now we move forward into the next set of committees and ideas and councils and arguments and calls. And that's where we're sitting right now, to make sure that we start our training camp and the season in the best possible fashion, with the goal of doing so with our fans.
So, Sean, I'm going to ask my co-host, Zach, do you have another question for Sean?
Absolutely. You know, Sean, I got to ask about it. I said I would on Twitter. There was videos of you side-arming Chick-fil-A sandwiches out for breakfast yesterday to some of the staff. First question, where was mine? Didn't get the invite. Must have been lost in the mail. No big deal. But my second question is, what are some other initiatives that you guys take to keep morale up among the staff and let them know that even though we're apart, we are all still family and still working together towards that common goal?
Well, you just hit it on the head. We are all one. It was really fortunate that, from a financial standpoint, no one's really suffered through the pandemic like so many others unfortunately are. And that's a real commitment from our owners to say, we have a really good staff. Let's make sure we all stay together. But to do that, we all have to change what we're doing, how we're doing it, when we're doing it. Initially, it was, let's just push out hard into the community, help rebound from tornadoes. Let's reward the frontline workers and the first responders that are really pushing us through the pandemic today, but also really hard in the early days. And who else can we help? Who else is in need? So a lot of it rolls around the community. But then the other part is, how do we stay connected? We didn't play as long as we wanted to. We had a lot of really cool plans to take us into late August, September, and if necessary into October, that we didn't get a chance to play. But it was amazing to see everyone come together in a closer fashion while being separated by miles. I mean, literally. And just so proud of it. But the goal is we stay together. This week is Employee Appreciation Week. A lot of companies aren't doing things like that. But I think this was probably one of the hardest years for any of us to do what we're doing. So we have a great staff. We've got to celebrate them. But let's not minimize that sidearm toss, because I was tossing into an array of vehicles from Nissan Altimas to larger cars to trucks, different speeds, different windows open. And I'm just saying, I was 6 for 6. I don't know what happened on the other side when the sandwich hit.
Certainly good enough to play for any team in the NFC East.
Bill Sims complimented my arm, and I don't know if you guys know this, Bill Sims truly was my second sports idol. Bill Esposito first, Bill Sims second, and it was a pretty good day to be Sean Henry yesterday.
Hey, Sean, real quick, I just wanted to say it was a fantastic event that for Roman Yossi last week. It was great to see that. It was terrific. He's a terrific young man and a perfect example of why we were part of this great league we're in.
You know what? It really was cool. And as great as it was for Roman, because he got robbed of his celebration from his friends and family and colleagues out in Vegas. So it was really wonderful to celebrate him in front of his family via the biggest Zoom I've ever seen. It was on Fang Vision, and have his sports idol, Federer, come on and talk about what a wonderful person and player he is. That was really neat. But it was almost equally cool for our staff to be there celebrating him and bring it together. So, as you said, Zach, the more we get together, the better it is. We all love being around each other, and you don't realize how much you miss those small things. But the highlight for Roman was when we introduced him was, Paul, your read about your captain. You should have seen a smile on his face. It was one of those neat, neat days that I think we all appreciate a little bit more because we are all missing being together.
Oh, no question about that. Well, Sean, we got you out in time. First pitch is in 22 minutes, so you're good to go for your game, okay?
All right, I just found out it's a best of 3 series. I thought it was best of 5. That's how dumb I am. So I can't wait to get in there and watch us, clinch. And I don't know if you raise a banner, but we would, and they should too.
Absolutely. He is Sean Henry, the Chief Executive Officer of the Nashville Predators. You can follow him on Twitter. If you are not, you are missing something. Follow him at Predsident on Twitter. Sean, thanks so much for taking the time and joining us tonight.
Thank you, guys. Always love the show. Appreciate you.
All righty. I tell you what, it's been interesting because when you look at a lot of the things that has really helped this team really solidify itself in the community, you look at people like Sean Henry that have driven that, the Heart of Gold program, through all of the things that pushes that organization into the community, and they really have done an amazing job. They really have.
They have such great ideas all the time, and they're always going forward with not just one or two or three. They have lots of projects going on all the time, and they're busy all the time, and that's good, and that's what it's all about. Giving back to the community.
Absolutely. All righty. Well, we have got plenty more to talk about here on Slapshot Radio. We've got three more shows, including this one, to go in our season. So we're certainly looking forward to getting down to it. So we'll be right back right here on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 102.5 The Game, Nashville's best sports talk. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann joining you. And, I want to turn our attention to the league right now because it's going to be an interesting free agency, and we're going to talk about that next week. But do you realize the number of goaltenders that could be on the move? I mean, the numbers are unbelievable, Zach. You're looking at 16 goaltenders that are probably going to be looking for a home starting next week.
And I mean, a none more so a bigger name than Henrik Lundqvist being bought out by the New York Rangers after 15 years of service, saying, thank you, here are your walking papers.
Yeah, but I got to tell you, I'm going to give, and I'm not the biggest James Dolan fan, okay, from an ownership perspective, but I will give him credit. They're doing it right. You know, he knew it was coming. It wasn't a surprise. They made sure they're treating him right. They're not putting any other kind of pressures, anything like that on him. I'll give Dolan credit on that. I mean, it's one of the few things I've actually said positive about the New York Ranger ownership. But I really believe that they're doing this right. And honestly, I mean, Zach, I don't know your opinion, but I think it's probably time for Lundqvist to hang him up.
Oh, I mean, I think if he was going to hang him up, then he would have done so. And it's clear that, he would have retired a Ranger and everything's good then. But at this rate, it's obvious that he wants to keep playing, keep chasing. And I think some team is going to get a very good, hungry backup at a Henrik Lundqvist.
Well, you look at some of the other goaltenders that are going to be on the move. Marc-Andre Fleury.
I thought he said he would still want to
stay
in Vegas.
Said he wasn't asking for a trade today.
He said he wanted to stay in Vegas, and I don't believe that.
Yeah. I don't believe that not with the same coach.
Yeah, his knee-jerk reaction was back in when they were playing right before they got beat out. He was all, I want this. Nobody's treated me well, and now he's all of a sudden turned around and he's had a few days to think about what he said. And now he's backpedaling big time.
Yep. But you're looking at, you're looking at Braden Holtby. You're looking at Carter Hutton. You're looking at Robin Leonard. You're looking at Darcy Kemper. Jacob Markstrom, which is a real interesting one right now. I mean, you look at some of these goaltenders and go, man, there's going
He's
to be...
He's unrestricted?
I believe he is.
I can't believe that.
I mean, he's a little bit older than your normal, first-year sensation.
That's true.
So, I mean, Cam Talbot, a solid NHL goaltender. I mean, product of the University of Alabama, Huntsville. Matt Murray? I mean,
He's been pushed out of Pittsburgh real fast, eh?
And it's funny. We were kind of talking about that, on the tangent in between, in the commercial break. What is it about Pittsburgh? They can't hold on to a coach for more than a couple of years. I mean, all Fleury did was, win a cup for him and he got pushed out. All Matt Murray did was, win a cup for him. He gets pushed out. Two cups. You're right. I mean, I don't get it. I mean, as far as that goes, I get not being satisfied. But, at some point, it becomes your reputation. It's no longer an anomaly. It becomes your reputation. So, but Zach, when you look at these goaltenders, Braden Holtby just completely stands out to me as the one that just shocks me that Washington will let him get away.
I'm not sure why that's shocking to you. I think that that was shown in everything that Washington did this year. I mean, they seem like they've been done with him for a while.
Yeah, since he won a cup for him, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, but at the same time, like, it's very much, this is a league of what have you done for me lately.
Exactly.
And, well,
and done for me tomorrow.
And you know what? And the other thing you need to be, you know, the interesting piece is Holtby hasn't been the same
since Mitch left him.
Since Mitch, and you know what? And Mitch Korn somewhere is smiling right now. But I mean, seriously, I mean, he wasn't the same goaltender after Mitch Korn. So
it is rare when you have a goaltender, you know, continue and get better, which I mean makes Pekka-Rinne a rare exception for his Vezina win coming after Mitch Korn.
Well, but again, remember, he was, you know, the coaching kind of, he it was one of the children of the Korn that took over.
Exactly.
So, I mean, that kind of helps, but we'll fascinating.
We got to get Mitch on one of these weeks.
You know what? Good, because all we have to do is ask one question, and then we can go home, yeah. And it's all Mitch. It'll work. So, but, you know, the other thing that you look at, you know, you have the Lundqvist buyout. You've got, you know, this goalie go-round is just really, I just think this is going to
be. A lot of real good top backup goalies or 1A, 1B, something like that. A lot of goalies right can play. These guys can all play.
And David Poile mentioned it in his presser the other day, and I completely agree with them, that in the condensed schedule that you're going to get, especially if you're playing 82 games and starting in January, this year, more than ever, it is going to be imperative to have almost a pitcher's rotation of goalies.
You are absolutely correct. There's no question about that. So let's turn attention a little bit right now. The draft is, you mentioned it early in the last segment, Zach, the draft is next Tuesday night. There will be a small draft party in the Lexus Lounge. You can go to the Predators website for more information on tickets for that. At 11, you're sitting here basically saying, you know, best available. But there's also plenty of rumors running around that New Jersey's dangling. They've got three first-round picks, and they're dangling two of them, saying, okay, let me see what I can get for this. I mean, you know, if it's a player that you really want, you know, maybe you move up a couple of spots for, you know, from a New Jersey. But I mean, at this point, you know, Brent, when you're looking at this type of draft, I mean, we know it's a deep draft. We know that, you know, the first couple of players obviously are, you know, will probably make the transition quickly. But this really, a lot of folks are comparing to the Nashville draft. You know, from a depth perspective, there's a lot of talent in this draft.
Yeah, and a lot of talent goes a long ways because, you know, usually there's only 10 to 15 guys that can play right away or even 10 guys. And now I don't know a lot about the draft because I don't pay attention to it, but I know the NHL. But the draft is very important to the lifeline of a team for years and years to come. Look at Pekka-Rinne. We get him in the 7th round or 6th round. He's been a stud at goaltending for the last 10 years, 15 years. You get Roman Josi in the 2nd round. You get Shea Weber in the 2nd round. Those are the kind of things that you need to do again and again every year, and then you're a real top team, and you're there every year. And then when contracts come to fruition, and you have to sign the guy, you sign long term. That's how you do it. You do it better with you're better with doing it with your draft picks than with your unrestricted free agents, I think.
Yeah, you're looking. I mean, the Devils are dangling the 18th and 20th picks.
Okay.
In the first round, their first is a 7.
7. Okay.
So that one they're not dangling right now. But you know,
we're gonna get somebody good at 10, then, aren't we?
Or 11, but yeah,
11, there's somebody 11. That you're gonna get somebody good in the first 18, 19 picks here.
Right.
This is a deep draft, and I mean, and the other thing that really is a good harbinger for this Nashville Predators team: 3 picks in the first 2 rounds. So there's some real restocking that can go on. And, Coach, to your point, you've said this a couple of times. This is a team that has been known for its defense. The defensive prospect pool is not as deep as normal. So this is a good year to try and pick up a couple of blue line prospects, especially in the 2nd round, that you can develop and have ready.
Is there a Hedman out there?
You know what? If there is, I don't think anyone's saying he's out there yet.
Because that would be a great to have Hedman and Roman Josi, the two best defensemen in the league together at one time.
It's all about size when it comes to that. There's no question about that. So, but when you look at this, you look at some of the stuff that's going on in the draft. I mean, reality is this: the Rangers is not that they ain't moving that first.
No.
LA has danced a little bit about possibly trading that second. I don't see him doing it. They need the restock as well.
Exactly.
But you're looking at the interesting ones going to be Ottawa's got 3-5, which I just find that's interesting, because talk about a team that absolutely needs to restock, and they're looking at kind of clearing the books right now. I mean, they bought out Bobby Ryan. They're trying to clear some cap space. They're really trying to, you know, go to a youth movement in Ottawa. This falls into that plan pretty well.
Yeah, and they could, you know, they have 3-5.
Yeah.
They could take three and then, you know.
Flip five for two or three more picks.
Exactly. Or even this two picks in the second round or something like that. I'm sure somebody would be calling the general manager in Ottawa right away.
Well, and I mean, I think, you know, David Poile talked about it. Talked about how, you know, he's been, you know, talking to, you know, 10 general managers a day.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
You know, I mean, you know, is in the context of Kyle Turris and, you know, and talking about that. And we're going to get into that in the next segment, that, you know, who's coming, who's going. And, you know, because it's become clear now who is not going to be back with this Nashville Predators team. That's become clear. So now we can talk about how you replace what isn't going to be there anymore. And we're going to do that right after this on Slapshot Radio, ESPN 1025, The Game. Slapshot Radio, ESPN 1025, The Game. Paul McCann, Brent Peterson, Zach McCann coming at you with Slapshot Radio every Wednesday night at 6 p.m. We got a couple more shows. We're going to review the draft next week. And also, I think Eklund's going to be joining us next week to talk a little bit about free agency. And then the following week, we will review what happened on the first couple of days of free agency frenzy and shut down the extended version, the remix version of Slapshot Radio's 13th season here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. So, guys, I do want to talk a little bit about you've got the Predators making some moves, making some announcements, some good signings. Devin Cooley signed as an undrafted free agent today, goaltender for Denver University, put up some decent stats. Looks like a good player to, you know, work on development. But you've got some, you now get a clearer idea of who's going, who's staying for the Nashville Predators. And the ones that we know are going, Mikael Granlund, I mean, let's face it, you know, a good guy, good player, but never seemed to really fit in here in Smashville from a performance perspective. Zach, it just never seemed to work.
Yeah, it's a real shame, because you look at that trade and what you gave up for it and, you know, what you got out of it, and it's a real what could have been, because you look at the gaudy totals that Granlund put up in Minnesota and think that would have gone great here. And had he put up those same kind of numbers, we'd be talking about what's he going to get in his new contract, or hopefully celebrating his new contract at this point. But it just never seemed to work out, whether it was personnel or staff or just clashing playing styles. Mikael Granlund just was never really fitting in as a Nashville Predator.
The next one, and this one we watched him grow up. We watched him play for years here in Smashville. I kind of joke about it. It's death, taxes, and Craig Smith scoring 20 goals. They're the three things that you can count on in life. But I think the key, Coach, is the consistency. And that's what David Poile keeps saying over and over and over again.
Well, look how consistent every team that Dallas had to be in and Tampa had to be in the finals. That's how you have to be. And sometimes you get guys like Smitty who are great players, great people, and it just doesn't work out. And his contract just comes available right now. So he has to stay here and give us a hometown discount, or go and play in somewhere else. And I don't think it's going to happen. You want to make as much money as you can.
Sure.
In the shortest period of time you can.
Sure.
So, it's frustrating for us, because, you know, we love Smitty, such a good kid, but I think he's going to be gone. And they have to promote from within. They have to get Toivonen, and they got to get Toivonen, and they got to get
Tomasino.
You got to get Pitlick. And mm-hmm. those guys. You got to get them up here playing, or we're never going to see them again.
Oh, then, and you see, you know, three players from the defense. Dan Hanhuis, you already know, is retired. Came out that Corbinian Holzer's heading to free agency. Okay, big deal. But Zach Yannick Weber heading to free agency. I mean, he's been serviceable on that third D pair. But I can't disagree with this one because it's time to start bringing up the players, you know, like Carrier, giving Tenorti a little bit more. I mean, it's kind of time for a little bit more snarl in the defense.
Yeah, you know, this one kind of surprised me a little bit to see. I always kind of thought Yannick Weber would be one of those that was brought back here. Not that I'm necessarily opposed to the organization moving on, because I think this opens up for maybe some of those younger D-man to actually have a chance. The one that I want to see is Jeremy Davies,
yeah,
elite, acquired in the PK Subban trade. Honestly, I'm kind of surprised the Predators haven't bought out Steve Santini yet, because that saves you at least $1 million there. He's the most expensive buried NHL contract right now in the AHL.
Well, I mean, you wonder, because, you know, you mentioned buyouts, and that's the other thing, and you know, the drumbeat's been getting louder and louder, and honestly, I don't think David Poile really hit it in his media availability. I truly believe that now Kyle Turris is a true buyout candidate, Zach. I think that it's a real possibility that he gets bought out.
I think it's a possibility. If it happens, it's not going to happen until after the draft or UFA day. I think he's still holding on to him as a possible trade chip with somebody. And that's another player where it is just a shame that it never worked out here, because he was excellent when he was first acquired. I mean, that line of Fiala, Smith, and Turris when Turris was first acquired was absolutely electric. And whether it was just other acquisitions at center or clashing with coaching staff, it just never worked out for Kyle Turris here.
I totally agree with you, but the one thing I don't agree is I think that I think it wasn't the right kind of player for our team, because you need to have he's such a nice person. He's too nice. His wife's nice.
The whole family's great. You're right.
He's so soft spoken, and you can't be a hockey player if you're that. You can't be a great hockey player if you're that. And you got to have some jump to you and some zip and some toughness. And he played just to play the game. And he played hard. He worked hard. But he just wasn't right for what we need. If he was on Tampa Bay, all the talent around him, all the big guys, he could play.
It's true.
Especially if they lost Stamkos or whatever. They had to move points up there. Had to move somebody up there. He's just not wasn't the kind of player that we needed, and they stuck him with a contract 6 years. He's got four left on it or whatever, and he's just he's a good guy, but you want to get better than that. I think
don't
tougher, stronger, grittier.
Well, and again, here's the thing: you know, unfortunately, there was a jam up in the top six.
Right.
I mean, there really was, and you just cleared out. You cleared out two of those. Now you're looking at clearing out a third. I mean, you know, I use Craig Smith, who really played mostly on the third line, but he's a top six guy. We know that.
Exactly.
So, I mean, but when you look at now, you've cleared out room. You've cleared out room for a player, and I think this player is going to get a real hard look. And I think Zach Philip Tomasino is going to get a real shot come training camp whenever that opens up.
When the GM's mentioning your name a few times during press conferences, usually a pretty good sign you're gonna.
Yeah, and
you get a great chance.
You know, no question. I think, but you've cleared out some top six space. You've cleared it out for a player like Tomasino. You've cleared it out for a player like Elli Tolvanen, who's over in the KHL right now. And I mean, you know, he's only played four games so far. He's posted two assists. I mean, but I'll be honest, he looks good. I've watched a couple of the games, and he's skating well, he's moving well. And the funny thing about it is the difference that I'm seeing in his game now, it is like, you know, Scotty Nickel talked about this a lot, that his game has become more complete. And you're seeing it right now for Jokerit in the KHL. Now, if he can transition that to the NHL, it's going to be a big win for this Nashville Predators team.
It might not be tomorrow that he does that, but he's going to do it sometime in the near future when he gets on the team and gets comfortable and does the things that he needs to do. He'll be fine. David Poile went on the air today here right on 102.5, and he said we need to insert prospects into the lineup while remaining competitive. We're going to be bringing them up. And Scotty's got to restock them down there in the minors, because we're taking them up and we're going to bring three or four guys up and they're going to play, and they're going to play no matter what happens.
And the interesting piece as well, another prospect, a guy that we're all real high on and want to see, You know, Yakov Trenin is going to get a little ice time.
Love him.
They've loaned him to SKA St. Petersburg in the KHL. He's going to get him some ice time, but it has absolutely been assured on there, and you saw it on the release, is that he will return to Nashville when camp opens.
Is that all right with you, Zach?
And on a one-way deal.
Yeah, and he got his one-way deal.
Is that all right, Zach, that we bring Trenin back?
Oh, I think it might be okay. Yeah.
He's the big, rugged forward that we need. We need a guy like that that's tough and
exactly.
Hard.
Exactly.
You got to almost tackle him, keep him in front of the net. And he just
With some scoring acumen.
Exactly, with some skill and some hands and some...
So you,
I had the hands. I had no skill.
So you look at this, and I think, you look at everything that was talked about in David's media availability. You look at his interview today on the game. I mean, it is, you've got a real clear idea that there are going to be some changes. But if you look at it, the changes are not exactly going to be, these are going to be, and I'll use the term, Tampa Bay-type changes. They're not, these are not major renovations. If you look at what Tampa did, they maintained that same core. They moved a couple of skilled players, and the one I keep thinking of, when they moved Jonathan Drouin. I mean, you move some skilled players out, you put the right role players in there, and I think... Personally, I think that's what you're going to start to see, Nashville do. I think you're seeing that with David Poile doing that. So it's going to be fascinating to watch. And oh, my, we have talked completely past the close of this show. And Max is over there going nuts. Sorry about that, Max. Max is like, hey, you want to finish this show so I can get on the next one? Hey, we appreciate you joining us on Slapshot Radio tonight. We do like to thank our guest, Sean Henry, joining us. Always good to have him on. And we do want to thank our sponsors, Hermitage Family and Cosmetic Dentistry, Cool Springs Wines and Spirits on Moores Lane in Cool Springs, Lazy Boy Furniture Galleries with 3 locally owned Middle Tennessee locations, and of course, our good friend, Carter Church, the real estate expert for your real estate needs. When you visit one of our sponsors, make sure you tell them you heard about them on Slapshot Radio and thank them for their support. For our producer, Max, our co-host, Brent Peterson, and Zach McCann, I'm Paul McCann saying good night and good hockey.
Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. You know what's slower than a pace car? Waiting at the car wash. That's when I fire up Chumba Casino. It turns those slow minutes into fast fun. With new games every week, you'll never get bored. Next time you're stuck in the slow lane, speed up with Chumba. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.